Welcome back to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. Dr. Ryan back here today with a special guest, Alex Mitchell. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Alex is a certified personal trainer, certified group instructor. He has his bachelor's of exercise science and a minor in health promotion. And we're here to talk about some of our most common questions we get in a fitness setting about movement, nutrition, exercise, motivation, and all of that. But before we get into those questions, Alex, let's talk a little bit about your story. How did you get into the world of fitness and exercise?
Started way back. I was a small town growing up here in Iowa. If you've ever heard of Mount Dallas, shout out to some of you guys that are out there, lurking out there. But we've kind of just always grown up around just moving or fitness, or it was kind of weird for people not to be in some type of sports growing up in that small town. So I was always exposed to it. My dad was a big time runner growing up. And I think I was just exposed to it a lot in my youth. And then when I went to college, I decided, oh, I should probably do physical education. PE teacher would be awesome wearing sweatpants to work. But then you realize that there was a huge surplus at the time. So the likelihood of getting a PE teaching job was pretty low. So then I switched my major once I decided to go over to UNI and switched over to exercise science. Started falling in love with anatomy, physiology, some of the personal training courses that they had. The biomechanics was probably one of my favorite classes out there as well. And then our strength and conditioning courses with one of my other teachers. He was awesome. And yeah, ever since then, I just got hooked and stay hooked.
And after you graduated from college, you've worked in a few different settings that we've talked about. You've worked with youth, you've worked with adult fitness. Kind of what all groups have you trained or helped?
Yeah, so fresh out of college, I had my personal training certification and I was a butcher to start off with. So at the local fairway, that's where I was working for a while. And then once we moved down here to Grimes, I was a one-on-one personal trainer at your big box gym, you know, just 5 a.m. to 10, 5 a.m. to 10, 5 a.m. to 10 a.m., come back maybe at 4 p.m., train some more clients. And once I was kind of moved on from there, I started hitting some athletics and tried to open up my own personal training stuff online, and that was quite a beast to tackle. So I'll maybe get back there to that at some point, but that's maybe like a 10, 15 year, 20 year goal of mine. But then when I moved from athletics and the online personal training, which was too difficult to handle, then I moved into Elite Edge, and it's been probably the best transition that I've had. Group fitness, one-on-one, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and both of them have their places, whether it's personal training or group fitness, depending on where the person is in their journey.
Absolutely.
What do you like, and maybe what do you not like? Give me some pros and cons of the group fitness or community fitness that you're working in now versus the personal training one-on-one sessions you've done in the past.
I would say with our group fitness, it's hard to get that one-on-one connection with everybody within, let's say, 30 minutes or within like 40 minutes. You've got one person who's got a big issue or a big topic that they want to touch on, and it's important that we make sure that you are feeling heard, because we want to address that topic as effectively and efficiently as possible. But then there's also like a line of people who are just ready for the next one, so it's a fun environment to do it because everyone is motivating of each other, and they understand the next person next to them is ready to go, needs Alex's attention, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's not my show. It's the clients are there for themselves. I'm just there to assist in any way that I can, and it's been helpful for me to learn how to quickly go from client to client to client.
And my experience in community fitness from a coaching perspective is it's really difficult. It's easier in a one-on-one setting. Granted, I work with people one-on-one in a more physical therapy session, and similar to personal training, it's easier to pick up on what the person needs. Is the person I'm working with, do they need to be pushed? Do they need to be pulled back? Versus in a group setting, you need to figure out what each individual person needs in your class. You know who you need to push. You know who you need to pull back. You know who needs a little extra motivation. Mm-hmm. You know that. That's really the art of the group fitness setting, is figuring out what every person in the class needs and making it a welcoming environment. So much can happen just because people start to get involved in other people's goals. They have their own accountability.
big time. It's a skill that I've learned pretty, I think, fairly quickly with the time that I've been there, and it's been a very fun experience as well, because at first, right out of the gate, I was I started literally writing down phrases on my hand and then thinking, what am I going to say to these people during cardio? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to... And then I would say whatever it is that's motivating to that either group of people, or maybe it's five people, or maybe it's just one person. That's what they need to hear. And then the whole rest of the class, they are focused, they are driven, they are motivated, they're disciplined, and all those things that we want to see, not just from the coach's perspective, but what they want to see in themselves. You see it, and it's laid out there, and it's really cool.
Yeah, and currently right now, when we're recording this, it's summertime, and certainly everyone's motivation to exercise and get into the gym goes down. What are common things you see that help people stay motivated to get to the gym and to stay active?
Making sure that it's a welcoming environment and a fun environment. One of the things I was... So I'm up for a recertification for my personal training cert this year at the in December. So I'm doing some studying, and there's one thing that they really plugged on earlier this week, which was making sure that the exercises are joyful, purposeful, and functional. To make sure that all three of those things are hit is much more likely for them to stay with it long term, and to make sure when it gets tough, or when it gets I don't want to go out and do some running, which my knees, I don't know if I'm doing much running lately, but when people say they want to go running, and then they, as soon as they get off work, they're like, you know what, I'm going to go home instead, or actually, you know what, I love working out, I'm going to go hit some weights and then go home, you know, that's kind of what we love to be able to see.
Yeah, and functional fitness has been a buzz term for the last decade plus of what that actually is.
Yeah.
My best description of functional fitness is I'll go GPP, or general physical preparedness.
Yes, we've heard that one. I like that phrase.
Liv, to talk to me about GPP and how you, what that means as far as what you're having people do in the gym, or what GPP is.
Yep, so it can be referred to as, you know, many different interpretations. Some people can build an entire program based off of GPP, which is good for those people who maybe have had an injury or are just trying to maintain, and they're not looking to really push themselves to that next level and stay mobile, stay functional, still be able to walk, you know, get on the floor, reach up above head, you know, that's no problem. And then we have that next level of, which would be a different style of training, your progressive overload, which is something that we try to hit, and something I believe is very beneficial in so many different ways. We could do a whole nother freaking podcast on that one, I'm sure you know. But I think of it as kind of two different styles of training for your progressive overload versus your GPP. Both of them are good for functionality, but they both have their place in the health and fitness world for sure.
Yeah, and there's different buckets we need to hit on, whether it's in the group fitness atmosphere. We need to work on strength. We need to work on cardiovascular endurance. We need to work on stability and mobility. What are some of the biggest areas you see people struggle with as they get older, as they get into their late 30s, 40s, even up to, what, you have someone who's 70?
Yes, we do have a rock star 70-year-old at our current gym in Grimes. So if you know who you are out there, I think you do. Very proud of you. But to allude to that, we typically see proprioception. So someone who, you know, think of it this way, your maybe mom that's in their upper 40s, they have had four kids, but they used to play volleyball in high school from 9th grade to 12th grade. So there's about 4 to maybe 3-ish years of playing some sports. So there's coordination for sure, but as far as like, all right, show me how to do a hip hinge movement with proper glute activation. And they're like, what'd you say? But that's when it takes that skill, like you talked about earlier, of making sure that the client understands what we're talking about and how to do a specific movement. And it's basically just saying, instead of saying, all right, do a hip hinge movement with glute activation, you just say, all right, bend over with a straight back and stand back up. Oh, I can do that easy. And then it's proprioception. You do that 50 times, you've got some proprioception back.
And that's exactly what I teach to all of my people that are having pain. It's movement awareness. And yes, you can't be hyper-focused with every single movement you do. There's some things that you just need to do, But depending on whether it's an aggravating position or there's certain movements we need to get through, proprioception or just your awareness of how you're moving is so important as mm-hmm. we get older.
Yep.
And that's where coaching comes in. Good coaching will help people move better and over a long period of time make huge gains
yep.
in the gym. Let's go back to some common questions you get. What are some of the most common questions clients ask you in a group fitness or personal training session about maybe things like how can they burn fat in those stubborn areas?
Oh, yeah, that's a common one, and I've said that to myself also, you know, multiple times. I get out of the shower and I'm like, oh, I really need to work on that. which, as a parent, I definitely empathize and sympathize with those that have a crazy schedule. Just those that can't make it into the gym. The kid is sick. The kid has too many things going on. I know with summertime, it is really hectic with a lot of things going on. But as far as that stubborn area, we always come back to calorie deficit over a long period of time. Now, what that means is in simple terms, basically just eating less than you are burning. Wait, did I say that? I don't think I said that backwards. Yeah. Less calories in, more calories out. Mm-hmm. That's the phrase that I like using. So we want to be able to do that for a long period of time. And that does promote fat loss. That does also promote weight loss too. So we see people who just drop weight super fast on a dime, but all their muscle comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
So then we want to phase out of a calorie deficit. We want to be able to phase into some muscle building going on, some muscle definition coming back, some building some toned muscles, you know, just looking tighter, stronger, and more functional. Comes back to phasing in, and you got to phase out.
And we won't get too deep in the weeds into the nutrition side. That's a whole, like we said, a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
But when it comes to macronutrients, when it being in a calorie deficit, but also still trying to maintain our muscle mass and grow our muscle mass, that's where the role of protein comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Which almost everyone is deficient in.
Yep.
What do you tell your clients about how much protein they should be getting, or how can they get more protein?
A good benchmark to shoot for, which is a little bit elevated than what we want exactly, would be shoot for your body weight in grams of protein. Mm-hmm. Now, for some people that are weighing upwards of like 295 or 300, or someone that's above 300, then you want to maybe shoot for what you want to weigh. Mm-hmm. So let's say I weigh, you know, 250 pounds and I want to weigh 190, shoot for 190 grams of protein. That's a lot of food. That's a lot of volume.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where your supplements come into play. Now it's a helpful tool. It shouldn't be used as a crutch. Having 6 protein shakes a day, if you've never had protein shakes, is not the best idea to get started. Start with every time you go to a restaurant, add some more chicken. Every time you go grilling, ask for chicken. See if they have high protein style of meals. Adding beans anywhere that you can is super helpful. Trying to hide your protein cannot be overstressed to help get that into your system to promote that muscle growth, to promote that higher boost in metabolism, to promote blah, blah. And then it goes on and on and on. Like I said, you probably need another podcast with someone more expertise than me.
I couldn't agree more. And sometimes I'll even bring that down when it's unless they're very, very active, even 0.8 grams per pound of body weight is a great benchmark, which is difficult to achieve.
Yeah.
If you've never actually weighed your protein or even just estimated it using MyFitnessPal, which has a lot of options, you can get pretty close. It's hard to get that much protein in.
Yep.
You have to think about it, especially if you're someone like me who is not a big breakfast eater. I'm not generally hungry first thing in the morning, so I wait. When you're only eating 2 meals a day, it's hard to get that much grams of protein.
Meal.
Yeah, 2 big meals of protein. There's not a lot of room for junk in there.
No.
We're going to touch on this topic later because I know it's a passion of both of ours because we have small children. I will even challenge every parent listening to this podcast to evaluate how much protein your child is eating.
Ooh.
Because it is minimal.
I've never done that before, but I'm going to try that.
And I'm new because my daughter just got through kindergarten. So it was my first year of school lunches. So I'm even like asking her what she's having for school lunch. And I get it. It has to be cheap because a lot of people need a cheap meal, and it's hard to serve masses of adults, so most of it is simple carbohydrates, which is fine. Kids need a ton of carbohydrates to help their growth. But look at how much protein they're getting in a day, and you'll be shocked at how minimal kids are getting protein, which is a theory out there, and this is super multifactorial of our obesity epidemic, especially in our youth, of are they getting enough protein from a young age, or are we giving them soft food and then carbohydrates only for, and then counter that with less activity level, is that contributing to our obesity epidemic? So yes, as adults, we need to think about our protein, especially if we have some weight to lose. I'll challenge every parent to then look at their child's protein intake. Sometimes I'll be the strict parent where, do my kids eat cereal in the morning? Of course they do.
Yes,
but they need to have a protein buy-in. They need to eat their egg white, or because they like that more than the regular egg. Yeah. I would prefer they eat the whole egg, but they only like the whites. They have to eat an egg white, then they get their bowl of cereal and milk. So think about it that you need a protein buy-in before you get your carbohydrates.
That would be the same if you applied that, let's say, to yourself, because we know protein is a lot more satiating, a lot more filling, and then your typical, oh, I'm still hungry, I need to get something to eat afterwards, I need a snack, I need a dessert for sure. You probably might fill up a little bit beforehand for yourself, but for the kid thing, I would definitely, if you gave it a look maybe once a week or even once a month, you'd be like, okay, they're not eating as much as they probably could. What am I doing for myself? Because as we know, the best analogy I can give for some of my clients who they come in, they're ready to get signed up, and then we kind of get talking about the reasons why they want to get started, why we want to take a break from always looking after other people. Who's looking after themselves? The best analogy, like I said, would be when you're sitting in an airplane and those masks drop down and they're explaining, you know, for the preparation flight, they're explaining you need to put your mask on first before you help someone else. And that's very important that I think, as a fitness professional, I'm able to help say, you know what, here, you need to put your mask on. We're going to help you through there. Think of me like the good looking flight attendant.
No, I like that analogy a lot, because I see a lot of the same clients. They're busy parents who neglect their knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, and because they're so busy taking care of their children, they're running them around all summer, they have school activities, they have both the parents are working, they're just busy, and they neglect themselves. So it's making the lifestyle change to take care of yourself before you can take care of your children.
Exactly. Because, and that's where I think my health promotion background comes into a huge play, is that we're thinking long term. We're thinking, how does your health promote healthy living in your life? How does it promote your work productivity when you're at work? How does it promote other people in your life to also be healthy? Kids, family, husband, wife, you know, cousin that lives on the other side of the country and they live in California or something, and you're the one inspiring them, that can be you, you know, just from a slight lifestyle change, like you just said.
Man, it's hard.
It's hard. Yep,
it's so hard. Because you and I both know that one of the, and in the world of 2023, with so many people having mental health issues, one of the best things for anxiety and depression is exercise. However, it's difficult. It's much easier to take a pill than it is to show up to exercise class two or three times a week.
Big time.
And being consistent.
Coming back to that joyful, purposeful, functional, you want to make sure that you're hitting all three of those points. Because if you like going to the gym, you're gonna keep doing it.
Yeah, let's talk about why people come when they start working with you. Why do they normally say they're in there to get started? Or what's their reason for coming in?
Let's see. Maybe because I'm so fun. I'm just kidding. No, typically we have a wide variety of answers. Sometimes we have someone that comes in and they're already, you know, in good shape. They kind of know what to do. But as far as that community part, it's been tremendous. We just recently ran a attendance little challenge, little boost in numbers, I would say, especially for our June, which is typically your slow months. If you're planning on opening up a business, plan to have those summer times really slow down. So, But we had people just knock it out of the park, and it was awesome. We gave out prizes. We gave out free memberships a little bit, add-ons. And it was really cool to see people just want to come in, mm-hmm. just want to use the membership that they have. And then that promotes the people around them to also come in because they're like, you know what? I wanted to come in because this seems like fun. Or I wanted to come in because I looked at myself the other day and I didn't like what I see. And that sometimes is a hard topic for people to just open up with a complete stranger about, like myself, you know, being empathetic and sympathetic, but also saying, you know what, you have a problem that you're coming to me with. I'm going to help you solve it. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy, but we will get there at some point.
And that's your health promotion background, because I see it similar with clients that decide to work with me. It's usually been building up for a while, and then something triggers it.
Yeah.
In my world, it was, hey, my elbow was bothering me, but finally my tennis elbow hurt so bad I couldn't lift a cup of coffee, yeah. and that's too much.
Yeah.
Or in the health world, it's, I went to the doctor, and my doctor's putting me on high blood pressure medication because I've been overweight and haven't taken care of my health. I need to change something. I finally looked myself in the mirror and went, oh man, I saw an old wedding photo on my anniversary from 10, 15 years ago, and man, I look drastically different. I need to make a change. Yeah.
And here's the easiest way to get around that. You start scrolling on Instagram, mm-hmm. you start scrolling on Facebook, TikTok. Yeah, he's laughing because you know. When you start scrolling, it's like a half hour later, and you've now looked at hundreds of pictures of, wow, this looks amazing. That can be me. And mm-hmm. then you just fuel yourself. Research shows that gets you a dopamine hit. And it fuels that feel-good sensation when you're just simply scrolling and looking at other people living their best life. But what are you doing? Are you living your best life? Do you mm-hmm. feel like you can maybe do just a little bit more? Or, you know what? I could probably do it once a week. As long if you're starting even once a week of anything. I'm going to go for a walk before my husband wakes up, or I'm going to make sure that I hit my workout while the wife's cooking, or, you know what, we need to walk the dog together. That's a pretty good idea. Mm-hmm. Like, it's huge. Just once a week, you're going to be profound at the results that happen after that.
Our brains work in an all or none principle. It's either all or none, but there's so much that can happen in the in-between. And here's a story. I just had a client yesterday who tweaked his back. He is very, very fit, but he hasn't been under a barbell to lift in the last 6 weeks because he hurt his back deadlifting really heavy. And he's been traveling for work. He's been very busy, but he came and he was just frustrated. And he's like, I might as well never lift. I can't deadlift. I might as well never lift ever again. My muscles are going to atrophy. I'm basically worthless.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but there's a lot of lifts you can do with a barbell that aren't deadlift. I'm yeah. like, you can shoulder press. You can push press. You can even front squat because your spine's in a neutral position. And it's just like the runners I see when they have a little injury pop up. Mm-hmm. They either want to run 12 miles or 0 miles. Yeah. And anything in between is terrible.
Yep.
But it's the lifestyle-changing habits is really the magic.
Big time.
There's a term, I think one of my students brought it to me, which is the active couch potato. There's some data out there now, meaning if you sit on your butt and are busy working for 8 straight hours, you go to one workout class even every day, that doesn't negate the lack of moving throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's a better place to start, it's way better than doing nothing. It's way better yep. than sitting at home. There needs to be a lifestyle of movement change. Like you said, are you getting your walk in with your dog? Are you getting that non-exercise activity mm-hmm. going in? I think that's a big thing I want you to touch on, because I talk about it with a lot of clients in a weight loss perspective, where it's like, yes, our exercise class is very important. Our nutrition is very important. But our non-exercise activity from a lifestyle can make a huge difference as well. Let's talk about NEAT, non-exercise activity
thermogenesis.
Talk to me about NEAT, Alex.
So another little story is that we've also got some clients that are just at their most fit. They're at their peak simply because of what their work is. Amazon drivers,
mm-hmm.
amazing. And UPS drivers, amazing how many steps they get. I think it's the highest I've ever had in step count was when I was working for my sister as a security guard. By the way, if you ever have a chance to do the Carrie Underwood concert, it's pretty awesome. But the highest I've ever seen someone come in, and they were they were working out, planning to do some cardio. They're like, oh, I'm pretty tired. I've had some steps today. I was like, what are you looking at? Maybe 10, 12,000, which is pretty high. It's up there for like your average day worker. And they're like, no, let's see. I just now passed 28,000. I was like, 28,000 steps. Oh, man, that's a lot. So then you think of that person coming into workout. That's a lot of activity. That's a lot of food that can come in because of how many calories are going out. So then we can eat your high protein with very little backlash because of how much your body is saying, all right, we're awake, we need to burn. We're awake, we need to burn. And it's just a vicious cycle. So even 5 minutes, three times a day, there's 15 minutes. Boom, you add that up. I don't know what 15 times 7 is. If you have a calculator, let me know what that is. But just over like an hour that you've done throughout the week of getting up from your desk for 5 minutes, walk around the house, go, especially if you work from home, I know someone very close to me that works from home a lot. So when they are able to do their walking, it helps them profoundly. You can see changes in mood. You can see changes in all these things, but the main benefit is that you are just getting that metabolism to stay awake, getting that blood flow to keep circulating, and to keep that metabolism kind of roaring, I guess.
A lot of people are data-driven. They like metrics. They want a target to shoot for. And I get on some of my friends who I play basketball with, I get on their case because they're tracking their calories every day. They'll check their Apple Watch, which is a fine thing to track. I encourage them. I think there's better metrics to track because of one, the calories is probably plus or minus, 30% off,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does that really change? I'm like, if I were to give you two metrics to track, it would be one, just simple movement and whether it's steps. And sure, it could be 8,000, 10,000, 12,000. Like, are you getting that in 5 days a week? Yes or no? Second one is the one we already hit on. What's your grams of protein? If you tracked those things, those are two drastic changes in lifestyle that can help, whether you're in pain or you're overweight or you're looking to make a lifestyle change. Those are my top two metrics that I look for people to change when it comes to making a transformation.
Big time.
Because yes, exercise is super important. Going to a community fitness class is awesome. It has so many mental benefits along with physical benefits.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those little lifestyle changes that really make long-term changes. Because anyone can go on a crash diet for 4 weeks, lose a whole bunch of weight. But if it's not sustainable, it's going to come right back.
Yep.
It's all about making sustainable changes. Which I'm sure you've learned about with your health promotion when you're talking long term.
And with that background, with the exercise science portion of it, we know that that weight can come off. We've seen it. 20 pounds in 6 weeks, 22 pounds in 6 weeks. Saw one guy that lost 10 pounds in 1 week just from a huge diet change. When we are doing that, and it can be done, it's very motivating. Holy crap, you see the results, and it's like, you did that, and it's huge for their motivation. They're like, wow, I did that. My life is complete now, and then they just stop.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you felt great, why would you want to stop doing that? Why would you want to stop that feeling or halt that progress? And it's something that we try to promote, never shove down someone's throat, because they're eating better, they're feeling better, they can do whatever they want to. After they are done with that, let's say they do 20 pounds, 6 weeks, that's great, awesome. We would love for you to either continue with us or continue on. We never say, great, have a great life, high five, we'll see you in a few years. I've never heard that come out of the mouth of either one of my coworkers or the boss man, anything like that. So it is just something we want to keep promoting. Like, let's keep you going. Like, even if it's only 3 days a week, let's back you off. Let's chill you out from the strict diet per se, or the limited diet, right? We'll now expand your diet. We will now expand your workout days. We can shift your workout days. We can now be creative, which is, I think, one part that my past coworker, Ryan, who, a huge shout out, man, helped me out a lot when I was working at, when I first started, was being creative with your workouts, being creative with your food, being creative with your motivation, and making sure it's fun. Stay in it. Stay, have fun with it. If you plan to work out for the next 6 months, then you can probably plan on working out for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. If you plan on doing that, then your mindset will shift drastically. It will say, you know what? I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to have a holiday. Have your holiday. Have fun. You don't have to worry about every little detail on your holiday, but you do realize that you're going to come back to it. You do know in your roots that you enjoy working out. You enjoy feeling good. You enjoy getting stronger. You all these things from enjoyment and being surrounded by that.
The health promotion and lifestyle changes is such a journey, but our brains think of it as a race. Meaning so many people have this target weight they want to reach. They reach that target weight and then they wipe their hands clean. The race is over.
Yep.
But it is not even close to being over. That's when people yo-yo diet and they just go up and down and up and down. I'm like, it is a sustainable lifestyle change. You're not over. You'll fluctuate. You'll go in and out of different eating strategies. You'll do different gyms, different things to stay active. But having that long vision of it is not a race, and that has a finish line. Just because you reach a certain target, and your target may change again. Sure, you reach that weight. Now our target is maintaining that weight and maintaining your active lifestyle.
Big time.
So that's an analogy I use a lot. I'm like, it is not a finish line. The finish line isn't to get out of pain. The finish line is to get you your active lifestyle you've been wanting to get at, but your knee pain, shoulder pain, back pain.
In case you haven't heard, and this would go to you as well as all the listeners here, whether you're listening for Wild Wellness or you're listening for me, the biggest piece of advice I think I've ever gotten was from Sal DiStefano. So write that down, S-A-L DiStefano. I can't remember how to spell his last name. I think it's D-I-S-T-A-F-N-A-O, I believe. He is one of the main guys as far as Mind Pump Media. So Sal DiStefano, Mind Pump Media, this is what he said. It was, the man who loves walking will walk further than the man who loves the destination.
Mm-hmm.
Best quote ever. You hear that hit and you're like, whoa, that, you know what, I just need to start walking. You're going to start seeing people that used to love walking and there they are sitting on the side of the road and you're just, I'm going to keep walking because, you know, I've got my music in, I just enjoy walking. And then you'll see a lot of people that you'll pass, you'll be like, wow, I never thought that they would stop walking. I just didn't think that. And then you'll find yourself walking with other people that are walking, a lot of people on your journey, which that happens at the place that I work. Everyone is surrounded by people who are all moving forward, all pushing. They are all in love with the walking process, not just the destination. And that's one thing I think people fall in love with on social media, online. Wow, that person looks this way. They're so lucky. It's like, it's not, they didn't do that by luck. It's not by luck and it's not by just only genetics. It's, you know, hard work. It's being disciplined as well.
I think that is an awesome quote. That'll definitely be the theme of this podcast for sure. But let's get to a question I ask everyone, which is, what in the last few years have you changed your mind about, Alex? What did you think you knew everything about when you were getting your bachelor's education, and now that you're into your career, you've changed your mind about?
Oh, I think I would say that I knew a lot about, well, if you're just feeling motivated, just go work out. Make the time. Make the time for yourself. I got two kids now. One of them 8, one of them 2. Sometimes they're sweethearts, sometimes they're not sweethearts. And that has probably been the biggest driving factor in my mindset shift is, it's tough with kids. I sympathize, I empathize. For my amazing wife who's been doing a lot for us, I empathize with her as well too, with how hard it is to be a mother. How hard it is to be a parent. You're asleep a lot. I didn't start napping until 3 years ago when my youngest was born, and then it was nap city all the time. And it's like, you know what? I don't have time to work out today. I'll make sure to make time, then I'll go walk the dog. I'm going to make sure I'm playing with the heck out of my kids. And then family time and kind of exercise and movement, they start to mold together a little bit. We're going to go to the park. We're going to go for a bike ride. We're going to go do these things. And that's something I've really empathized with, as being a parent and trying to work out and stay healthy is hard.
It is so hard. It is so easy to fall into the trap that you mentioned earlier, which is taking care of our kids versus taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's difficult because it can't be, it's unlikely you're going to be a parent of a 2-year-old and make it to the gym 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult.
Yep.
Something is going to interrupt that. And it's so easy to get in that all or none principle thinking where it's like, oh, she's sick today. All right, I guess I won't work out this whole week. And then you take a whole week off. It turns into 4 weeks. That turns into 6 weeks. And then you were up 5-10 pounds, haven't moved in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I agree. It is hard to have small children. I have 6 and 2-year-olds, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah, man.
Where you have to get creative. And even less is more. And some people can't make exercise class 5 days a week. And I empathize with that. But I'm like, that's fine. But you have to do something.
Yeah.
I'm like, take your kids to the park. Take them on a bike ride. Get that neat activity at an absolute baseline.
Yeah.
And yes, hopefully when they get older, we can have a little bit more flexibility. But yes, the newborn lifestyle is very difficult for us not to get the dad bond that that so many people are getting. What have you found has worked for you? Or what has worked for clients with kids? Do you have any advice for people with small kids of what they can do to avoid that trap of just doing nothing because they're overwhelmed?
Just give them cartoons and a snack and there we go. And although that does sometimes work, but it won't buy their attention for the 45 minutes that you need to work out, or if you want to have an hour workout or, you know, whatever. What happens at my work is when I'm done on, like, let's say Saturday, sometimes I'll text my wife and say, do you want to work out? She'll be like, yes, I'm going to bring the kids and they will play. I'm going to do my own thing. Like, do whatever. And then maybe 10 minutes goes by and the kids are bored and they want to go home. And the wife's like, well, I can't stay here if you're not here being supervised, stuff like that. I'm just going to head home. And it's like, that's fine. We've now hit 10 minutes at least. We know we're going to go play later. Those kids. The kids don't stop playing at that age. That's been a huge one. Just trying to compromise with the time that you have and with the person that you're with. And I think we've done that pretty successfully, I feel. It's just a matter of, like we've said, being creative and having fun with it.
The advice I give, and granted it's easy because I work inside of a gym, but from an early age, if you can, get your kids around a gym environment. Kids soak up any environment they're in. Even if they're not, even if they're on a tablet during your workout class, I think that's totally fine.
You see that a lot.
Which is totally fine for perfect tablet time for mom and dad to have their alone time.
Yes.
But kids still pick up on things. They see movement. They see people being active, which from a young age is really important to instill that lifestyle change. Even if it's once or twice a week of like, try to bring them, sure, that's fruit snacks and tablet time, that's fine, but if it gets you 30, 45, maybe even 60 minutes, you have to include them. And it may not even be an exercise class. It may be more of that neat activity with your kids. But I also sympathize where, you have all the time in the world, and then you have that lifestyle change, and then boom, that's where things get really difficult. So you need a coach, you need someone to guide you, at least teach you the small things. What are the small things that you can consistently do to make the biggest change? We've touched on a lot of really good things, Alex. We've talked about your background, the importance of functional training, general physical preparedness, proprioception. We've talked about parents who take a back seat to their own physical health because they have a family and they want to focus on them. Talked about how to stay motivated, finding your why, some big points on non-exercise activity, getting your protein in to make changes, and then your quote, which is the man who
Sal DiStefano,
the man who enjoys walking is much better than the person who enjoys the destination. You need to make lifestyle changes that are sustainable, that work with you, that you enjoy, and that's what will get you in the long run to be healthier and live longer and take care of our kids. Alex, I want to thank you for joining me. We've learned a ton. If anyone's interested in learning more about Alex or working with him, I'll put all of your information in show notes on how to reach out to you online. But to all the listeners out there, thanks for listening to the Rev Health Radio podcast, and I'll check in with you next time.